Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to episode 125, McChesney Unchained at DNVR. I'm your host, Matt McChesney. As always, we are coming to you from the lab down here at 6-0 Football Academy over Zoom today to talk about week one of the NFL season, the college football season, week two, and some of the great games there, and get you primed up for week two of the NFL, week three of college football. It is my honor and pleasure to have, the master and one of my mentors in the radio game and one of my best friends out there and the voice of your Denver Broncos, Mr. Rick Lewis from 103.5 The Fox and so much more, the Rick Lewis Project. He's the master for a reason. He joins us here today on episode 125. And as always, it is brought to you by our good friends at DraftKings. And week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the National Football League. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving all new customers a can't-miss offer. You just bet $1 on any football game this week to receive $200 in free bets instantly, no matter what. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet at least $1 on any football game. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure, making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use the promo code DNVR to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code DNVR to get your $200 in free bets instantly this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the National Football League. You must be 21 or older, Colorado only, new customers only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Do you have a gambling problem? 1-800-522-4700 if you do. And we roll here on episode 125. And like I said earlier, it is my honor and pleasure to bring on the master, Mr. Rick Lewis, joining us here. Rick, what's up, brother? Happy Wednesday morning.
Hey, thank you, Matt. It's nice to see your ruggedly handsome face via Zoom. We need to get together here soon, man. It's been a while.
I agree. The last time we hung out, we shot some doves, or what? Those weren't doves. Those were what were those birds called? Pheasants. Yeah, we went pheasant hunting. Yeah. And it was awesome. It was so much fun. And with Rick and I just parading around in a field with your sons-in-laws shooting stuff. It was so much fun. I had such a good time.
Yes, it was.
When does that start up? When does that start up again, season-wise?
Really soon. I think October 1st, we can get back out there.
Oh, man, I'm in. I am so in. And it's crazy. I know. When we were out there hunting, everything that flew to my left, I shot, and I can't even see left. So it must just be instinct for the big guy.
Yeah, we were thinking maybe the fact that you could only see out of one eye actually benefited you.
Maybe.
You hit everything, every single shot you hit.
Yeah.
And we were getting a little pissed off about it.
I mean, the guy with one eye is beating everybody else. At some point, I just think maybe if I'm that good at pheasant hunting on the left, maybe I should go try NASCAR, but there's no stop signs in NASCAR, so all left turns might be tough, bro. like always, you can hear Rick every morning on 103.5 The Fox, with the great Kathy Lee. They've been doing that for, well, forever. And I'm honored to be back on there talking about the Broncos once a week with my man. And also the, you know, he's the voice of the Broncos with the great Dave Logan every Sunday. And before we get into, you know, the Broncos and what you saw in New York, just the dynamic between you and Dave is so good on the radio back and forth. Folks, if you haven't heard Rick and Dave on the radio together, the give and take is outstanding. And I really like the fact that it's like kind of the roles are reversed a little bit with the color and the play-by-play guy. And it just, they feed off each other in such a great way. How cool is it to be with Coach Logan up there in the booth? And how much have you learned from that man just over the last 4 or 5 years?
Yeah, well, I appreciate it. Thank you for the nice words, Matt. Yeah, I love calling games with Dave. We have great chemistry together, much like you and I do. And chemistry is something you just can't buy. You either have it or you don't. And it's kind of rare. And so when you do have it, you've got lightning in a bottle. And it really works on the Broncos broadcast. And everybody knows Dave Logan has been calling Broncos games for 32 years now. Believe that, 32 years.
Wow.
And this will be my fifth year with Dave. And Dave's got a PhD in football, just like you. It's Dr. Logan and Dr. McChesney. And so, yeah, I mean, I've soaked in a lot of knowledge and information from him and you both. You guys are both, kind of my mentors in professional football. There's a lot to learn, and I'm eager to learn it. I do all the prep I have to do for the games. And, you know, it's funny, you know, you end up using maybe 10% of what you prep for during the week. But you have to have it all there, you know, just so it's there in your head. And just in case something happens, or if some guy makes a play, you know, that's maybe a second or third line guy, he makes a play, you got to have something.
Got to know.
You know, so you got to do it all. And I love calling the games with Dave. And it was really fun on Sunday when they blew out the Giants in New York. This will be my fifth year. I can only remember one other real blowout. That was in Arizona
on the road,
in the Vance Joseph years. And I remember the Houston game down in Houston with Drew Locke. That wasn't really a blowout, but it was a pretty easy win. But this was the first time where I think they totally dominated every facet of the game. And man, it is so much more fun calling games when they're winning like that, man. And I'm optimistic it's going to be a pretty fun season.
And Rick and I used to do a show on 103.5 The Fox back in the day called The Truth. And that was during the Manning era when they were winning Super Bowls and they were going to Super Bowls. And that, if, like you just said, it's so much more fun when you get the opportunity to be with the team when they're good and winning. And that was some of the most fun I've ever had on the radio, not just obviously because I'm with my mentor and the master, Rick Lewis, but the ability to like to go to training camp and be around greatness, it rubs off on the media as well. Nobody wants to cover a losing team. So let's jump into that. By the end of the middle of the fourth quarter in New York, the stands were damn near empty and it was all Bronco fans. So you can tell we want a winner. Just the atmosphere in New York, the feeling of the game. Before we get into the individual performances by Vaughn and Teddy and so on and so forth, I feel like personally, this is a much different feeling, not because of the win or the loss, just overall different feeling of the team. Now, is that Vic? Is it Teddy? What is it is it health? Is it no COVID? Is it a combination of all of them? Just the feeling here for the Denver Broncos this year that is, in my opinion, is they are a true contender in the AFC.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that way. It does feel different going into this season. Just a more sense of optimism. And I think for many reasons, you pretty much nailed all of it. Number one, fans are back in the stands, which makes a big difference.
How cool was that to hear the crowd noise? You know, on TV, it was incredible.
Yeah, it's night and day. I can't wait until the Broncos come back here in week three and play the Jets. And they're very likely to come back here 2-0 for that game. Imagine what it's going to be like. I mean, imagine what that's going to be like if they come back here 2-0 and they're playing the Jets and fans are allowed back in the stadium again. I'm really looking forward to that. But this team just feels different to me. Going in, I think we all knew that we were going to get better quarterback play this year going in. Did we know it was going to be as good as it looked Sunday with Teddy Bridgewater? I don't think I was expecting it to be that much better. I think Teddy Bridgewater probably played the best game of his career against the Giants on Sunday. Can he duplicate that from week to week? I doubt it. But I think you're going to see much more consistent quarterback play. You can see what he's capable of doing, especially with a good roster around him. This is kind of how he looked early in his career with Minnesota. Yep. Before he got hurt, and how he looked when he was came off the bench for Drew Brees in New Orleans, and they had a really good roster. He's got a good roster around him, a lot of talented young people, especially on the offensive side of the ball, and he is a natural leader. That's another thing I didn't know about him, but he leads in kind of a different way. And Matt, you know, you played 6 years in the league. There's guys that are in your face, rah-rah guys, and there's guys like him that he seems to let his play do the leading, and he's got this really cool, calm demeanor about him, which I think is really, really cool and unique. He seems like a guy who's never going to panic. He seems like a guy who's never going to be overwhelmed, and I think when you have that guy in the huddle, it gives your whole offense a sense of confidence that you can be successful. And you would know that better than me. But, and I still haven't met Teddy. We've interviewed him on the radio, but you really pick up on his personality, I think, is a big part of who he is and why the team has rallied around him already. And I think this could be a pretty good year.
Yeah, and Teddy's ice cold, man. I you know, they used to call him Teddy Ballgame back at Louisville and in Minnesota when he was young, and I can see it now. The cool, calm confidence that he had on the sideline, you know, it rubs off on the other 10 on the field. It rubs off on the defense. They know that they're going to play with a lead and they can get after the quarterback. I love the check with me system at the line of scrimmage and his ability to drain the play clock, see what the defense is doing, and then articulate the check and make it and go out there and put the football in the hands of his playmakers. That was elite, no doubt. The red zone, though, I mean, for last year's struggles in Carolina because of the new offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, or not having Christian McCaffrey, they struggled immensely in the red zone. And it was probably because of coaching, because the Teddy ball game that I saw in the red zone this weekend, that was a top 10 quarterback in the red zone in the NFL. And he was outstanding in every facet of the game on Sunday. And they played, they're at Jacksonville. Jacksonville is a, let's just be real, they're a dog shit team right now. They're not very good. And that should be a cleanup win. They should go down there and beat the hell out of Jacksonville. And just like you said, Rick, the homecoming back to week three and the Jets in sports or in Power Field is going to be the coronation for Teddy. Cause I know that he was in Minnesota, and when he was in Minnesota, if you remember correctly, he was playing in the old Gopher Stadium outside. So even that atmosphere, I don't know if he's ever really been in a home stadium, like he's going to experience that week three game against the Jets being 2-0, at least I'd have to assume. Before we get into the defense, do you expect them to go down to Jacksonville and just pick up right where they left off? Because I do.
Well, like I said a couple of minutes ago, I think that could have been the best game he's ever played in his NFL career. I wouldn't think he's going to look that good from week to week, you know, just based on his past resume in the NFL. He had the highest quarterback rating of any quarterback in the league last weekend.
Well, I'm saying, he was outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, so is Teddy Bridgewater going to be the best quarterback in the NFL this year? Probably not. Is he going to be a top 10 quarterback? You know, that's certainly possible. Based on his resume, you would think he's probably going to be 14 or 15 best quarterback in the league. And if he does that, just doing that alone, that'll be an upgrade for this team at that position. But I, you know, you never know, man. He could get on a roll here, and this team could get on a roll with Teddy Bridgewater. I wouldn't expect him to look that good against Jacksonville, but I think he'll have a very good game. I expect the Broncos to win that game easily.
Yep.
You can't take them for granted. That quarterback, that young quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, has got a ton of talent.
He
did throw three touchdowns along with three picks in his first game in the National Football League. So he's going to be able to do some damage. But I feel like they will pick it up. I think they have some big momentum going right now. It just feels different to me with this team. I think they're going to probably win pretty easy on Sunday and then come back here in front of the hometown fans, and they're going to put an ass whipping on the Jets.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to see a 3-0 team to start this season.
And then if they are through, not to look too far ahead, but if they are 3-0, that Baltimore-Pittsburgh two-week stretch is going to – look, I was in Vegas this last 2 days. I went to the Monday night game, watched the Raiders beat the Baltimore in overtime. Baltimore is beatable. Look, everybody's beatable in the National Football League. So consistency is going to reign out offensively with the Denver Broncos. And I think we have the right guy at the quarterback position to keep that going. The voice of your Denver Broncos, Mr. Rick Lewis, joins us here on episode 125, McChesney Unchained. The master now, we'll jump into the defense. Watching Vaughn play the way he did on Sunday with the two sacks, the constant pressure, how hyped he was with the defense healthy, it seems. I know Darby's now hurt, but it gives more of an opportunity to Surtain. That defense, Rick, is a top five unit, maybe a top three unit. How much fun was it to be there and watch them eat the way they did on Sunday?
Yeah, it's this reminds me of the Super Bowl year defense. And as we know, Von Miller was the MVP of the Super Bowl that year. This is seems to be a newly committed, fresh Von Miller after missing all of last season. He just had a little baby. He said he wants to play long enough so that his son can watch him play, which means he's going to have to be around for several more years to do that.
8 to 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. And he sounds like a different guy to me now. He sounds like he loves football. He sounds like he's really interested in playing football again. And when you're away from the game for a year, that tends to happen. You know, I think you can tend to get a little complacent, like, hey, man, you know, I'm going to be able to do this forever. And then you have an injury like he had where you're out for a year. You got to step back, and it gives you a whole new perspective on life. And having a kid does the same thing.
Damn
new
straight.
Perspective on life. And then watching the game from the sideline doesn't feel so good. And you can't wait to get back in there. You can't wait to play and contribute. Von Miller, who had two sacks Sunday, probably is going to have a monster season this year. And especially if you can get Bradley Chubb back healthy on the other side. Those guys have only played four games together. They've only been together on the field for four games.
Crazy.
And if you can get Bradley Chubb back healthy on the other side, man, there's no telling how many sacks Von Miller may have this year. And then you got that back end, that secondary is probably the best in the league. I know it's the highest paid in the league, so they better be the best. And they've got a lot of depth there, and it's a good thing. There was a lot of talk about trading Bryce Callahan before the season. Good thing you didn't do it, because Darby got hurt on the last series of the game. They put him on IR. He's going to be out for at least 3 weeks. But you still got Pat Surtain sitting back there, you know, that you can plug in, your number one draft pick. He looked great in preseason, looked a little shaky in game one. I'm sure everybody noticed that.
He only played 16 snaps. Shepard benched him.
But they're deep in that back end. They got a lot of talent. I'm confident he'll pick it up quick.
Did you like the plan from Fangio? And did you think that they played that correctly? Because, look, the Giants' defense last year was atrocious. Saquon Barkley is not healthy. Still, to dominate a team defensively like that in an NFL game these days, with the rules totally and unequivocally predicated to the offense getting points and the penalties always being in the favor of the offense, it's rare. You don't really see that. I mean, the only other game this week that was like that was Green Bay, and they just shit all over themselves. So this is the kind of thing where they've got Jacksonville this weekend, the number one pick. They got the Jets at home week three, the number two pick. You could be looking at a defense that's ranked number one in the NFL in a lot of different categories going in against Baltimore in that huge week four game. Do you think they are mature enough defensively, which I think they are, to handle playing teams that aren't very good? Because in the past, over the last 4 or 5 years, Rick, you can attest to this, when they go on the road and they're supposed to beat the hell out of somebody, they tend to play to the level of their competition. And I'm worried that a little bit of back padding and, you know, like, hey, you guys are really, really good this year. I'm hoping that the leadership on this team doesn't allow that to happen. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. And I think they'll be good there because they have some good veteran leadership on the defensive side of the ball. The offensive side of the ball is a little different. Other than Teddy Bridgewater, they're very, very young. Offense, but on defense, that's where they do have some veterans. And Von Miller, speaking of Von again, he looks like he wants to be the leader of that defense, which is something I don't think we've really seen throughout Von's career. You know, Von seemed to be pretty happy just being Von and letting other people lead on defense. This seems like it's a role that he relishes now, that he wants to be that guy. And I think that's really a big deal for the team moving forward. And Justin Simmons, another great leader on the team. Kareem Jackson, a guy who's been around a long time, is another great leader on the team. Bradley Chubb. Let's talk about Bradley Chubb, too. Bradley Chubb, even though he's a young guy, that guy's a young lion. I mean, that's a guy who wants to be the leader of this defense. He's very, very vocal, and we know he's a really good player. Bradley Chubb, when he's healthy, will also provide some leadership and some toughness on the defensive side of the ball. I think we're going to see this defense by the time we get to the end of the year. I would predict top three defense in the league. And if the offense plays like they did Sunday against the Giants, which I wouldn't expect every week, I already said that, although the Giants had a really good defense too.
They're good on defense, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that was the strength of their team was defense.
100%.
And the Broncos tore them up with over 400 total yards. Man, we're going to have some fun this year, Matt. We're going to have some fun. I remember back when we used to do The Truth, and, man, we had a good time doing that show.
That was so right much here on fun. The Fox. Going to the stadium or always in the studio at the Fox. And it was just that the aura of that team. I remember we used to sit down and go, man, they are just going to slaughter these guys this weekend. Look at how efficient they are. And yes, they had Peyton Manning, but Teddy is the same kind of smart quarterback that you need on a team like this. So he's not putting them in bad positions. And look, that's why he won the job. And that's why the Broncos are now, in my opinion, a bona fide playoff team. The AFC West is loaded. Everybody in that division won. They're all 1-0. Very similar to the NFC West. The Western divisions in the NFC and the AFC are stacked. So that's pretty cool. Last question before we get into just some more broad NFL topics. I wanted to get your opinion on Aaron Rodgers just because of all the stuff from the offseason. Do you like the fact that all the AFC West games relatively are in the second half of the season? It just gives them more time to prime up to win those five of those six games and potentially win the division.
I find it interesting. I think it's going to get really interesting down the stretch. And that's probably why that they made the schedule the way they did.
I like it.
And this division's going to be, it's going to be one of the toughest. I think the toughest in the AFC. And it's certainly one of the toughest in the National Football League. It's going to come right down to the end. All four of these teams, I think, are going to have a chance to win the division. And the other three are going to give the Chiefs a run for their money this year. I just have a feeling about that.
Yeah.
We saw, the Chiefs last week, they had to really scramble to pull out a win there. They got a tough game coming up against Baltimore this week. I feel like the Broncos, the Chargers, and maybe even the Raiders, but certainly the Broncos and Chargers are going to give the Chiefs a run for the AFC West division title this year. And I don't know how many teams out of the division can make the playoffs. It might be three.
Only three. Yeah, three all year. Four can't make it.
Yeah, and you mentioned the NFC West. To me, that's probably the best division in the game. Good. They'll probably have three teams out of that division get in as well.
It's going to get super competitive, no doubt. Last question here for the Master Rick Lewis. Remember, you can follow him on Twitter and Instagram at @OneRickLewis. He's a great follow. Make sure you do that. The Aaron Rodgers thing. So much of what we talked about at the beginning of this show is chemistry and how you and I have chemistry, you and Dave have chemistry. You work together long enough, you know somebody, you gain to trust them and know that they're going to show up and do their job. Aaron Rodgers is the reigning MVP. In all my years of football, brother, I have never in my life seen, or maybe I just can't remember, but you usually remember shit like this. I've never seen an elite talent with a team that just played in the NFC title game just look that bad for that long, not be able to figure it out at all. And for Aaron Rodgers to look as uninterested as he was on the field, and then as uninterested as he was in the press conference. And then the next day, he's exactly like, might as well just be saying, relax again. Personally, it looks to me like the guy was in Hawaii a little bit too long in the offseason and just thinks that he can walk out there and just do the shit. What's your opinion on that? Because that's a bona fide professional. And you and I both know that you can knock rust off, but also the rust is what eats the iron. So if there's no integrity inside, we're dead. So what's your opinion on this, man? Because if that's the Aaron Rodgers that we're going to go sign, I'm good. We'll just keep Teddy.
Yeah, well, if you've ever been to Hawaii, you know it's pretty easy to get into that attitude, that hang loose attitude, no pressure, brah. And he certainly had that all summer. I mean, he was just having a good time. He didn't seem like he cared about football anymore. He's with his fiance, hanging out, you know, in the jungle of Hawaii. Talk about a big distraction. The entire offseason and the summer with Aaron Rodgers and the stuff that was being said going back and forth, and him acting like he didn't even really want to be in training camp, and he really wasn't. By the time he gets back, you know, he maybe needs to ramp up that competitive fire just a little bit more if he still wants to play. Maybe he doesn't, Matt. Maybe, you know, that downtime, he got a little different perspective and took a look at things. You know, he's already made all the money in the world. You know, he's already set for life. And if he has kids and his grandkids will be set for life. You know, but you got to have that competitive juice to play in the NFL at a high level. And maybe it's going to take him a little longer to get that back just because of how he lived his life in the off season. And you're right, man. I was thinking the same thing when I watched that game. Maybe we are better off that we didn't make that trade for him this year. I have a feeling, you know, it could still happen next year. And you know things and I know things. And remember we used to, when we were doing the truth, we would always say, we know too much.
Yeah, we know too much.
You know, you know things when you're in this business, and especially somebody like Matt, who knows a lot of the players and played in the league. So you know things that you can't really talk about.
There's
right?
Certain so things we used that to we, say, just
we know
can't
too much.
Discuss. Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that talk at the end of the season gets started again of the Broncos maybe trading for Aaron Rodgers again. All of the inside sources that I really trust were telling me and telling us that was real.
That was like close.
The Aaron Rodgers talk, that was real.
Close. Yep, it was.
Yeah, it was close. But you know what, man? If Teddy goes out and balls this season, if Teddy has the kind of year that we think he can have, and if he looks like he did Sunday against the Giants throughout the year, Teddy's going to be the quarterback next year.
He's going to get paid. And that was the question I was going to roll with. See, chemistry. Before we get you out of here, at what point do you have to look at this and go, we've got him for a year and, you know, they're 4-1 or 5-0 and just beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh and their defense is elite and his knee's not an issue and they're rallying around him. At that point, do you start? I mean, that's the difference here is I remember when Trevor Siemian was playing really well and everybody's like, pay him. And then he fell off a cliff. Bridgewater's already been through all the early adversity of his career. And if he's got 5 to 7 years of relatively consistent to elite quarterback play in him, I would much rather see that here than him going somewhere else, because everybody else in the NFL is going to be looking at him going, oh man, if we're a piece away, that's our piece right there. Look how consistent he was this year. Before we get you out of here, Rick, what do you think on that?
Yeah, you know, what is he, 28 years old, I believe?
He's 28, 29
here during the season. But, yeah, he's still a relatively young quarterback. And, you know, not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if he does have the season that I think he's probably going to have, it would not surprise me at all if the Broncos sign him to a long-term contract and he will be your quarterback moving forward for the next 3 or 4 years. You could do a whole lot worse than him.
Oh yeah.
You know, of all the quarterbacks that have played here for this team since Peyton Manning, he's the best one. And maybe, you know, he's at that stage of his career too, where he's going to continue to get better. And from what we saw Sunday, you know, that could be the case with him. Maybe he's going to continue to get better. Look at Ryan Tannehill.
Yep.
Look at Ryan Tannehill in Miami. He was a bust.
Disaster.
And then he goes to Tennessee, and then he got paid, man. Ryan Tannehill figured it out, and he got in the right system. He got on the right team. Maybe that'll be the same case here with Teddy Bridgewater.
Rick, thank you so much for your time this morning. Everybody, you can hear Rick every morning on 103.5 The Fox with the great Kathy Lee, the master. And then every single Sunday or whenever the Broncos are playing with the great Dave Logan. Rick, thank you so much, brother. Enjoy your day. And I can't wait to hear the call on Sunday. And I'll be at the Jet game with my sons when the Broncos open. So we'll make sure to come up and say hi and give you some hugs.
Yeah, man, it'll be good to see you. It'll be good to see the boys. And thanks for having me on your podcast. And you're one of the few guys that makes me look like I got a small head. So anytime I can appear with you on a show like this, it makes me feel better about myself.
Thank you, brother. I love you, man. Have a great day.
Love you too, man.
Always great to have the great Rick Lewis here on the show on McChesney Unchained, episode 125, as we roll. All right, so let's get into the rest of this. So we obviously broke down the Bronco game. You get to hear from one of the voices. The commentators got some inside knowledge, and Rick just spit some fire. That was as good as it gets. But look, the rest of the NFL, they were playing all over the country. And I went to Vegas this weekend, and it was fun. I had an awesome time, I'm not going to lie. The games in the sports book were wild. It was, the atmosphere was wild. I ended up going to the Monday night game when the Raiders played Baltimore. That place is like a spaceship. I thought it was going to take off, levitate, and go into the atmosphere. It was so fun. We sat in a suite right next to Mark Davis, and C. Wood was in there, and it was dope. It turned out to be a great game. But looking around the NFL, I'm not going to talk about every game, but there are some games that just need to be discussed. On the Thursday night opener, Tampa Bay beat Dallas 31-29. It was a hell of a game. Dallas has got offense all day. Tampa Bay is as good as they were last year, if not better, with all 22 starters coming back. You know, it was high scoring, but that's what the National Football League is. If you can't score points in this league, you're probably not going to have a job for very long. I think both of those teams are playoff teams. I just think Dallas is going to run away with the East when the whole season, you know, gets to where they get to. The Giants and the Redskins don't have any offense. And Philadelphia beat up on a team that I think is just atrocious in Atlanta. So it's going to be – if Dallas doesn't just get destroyed by injury and they don't fuck it up on their own, I'd anticipate the Cowboys being in the playoffs and hosting a playoff game. Tampa Bay should be the one seed in the NFC this year. I'd imagine they're going to be a pretty tough out regardless. So Tom Brady looks great. Gronkowski looked great. The offense looked great. And they still didn't look good. It was week one jitters. So I can only imagine how good they're going to look once the engine revs. 9 straight wins now for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they roll. Kansas City beats the Browns 33-29. That's one of my parlays there on the touchdown scores. That was a nice little payday for the big guy. I kicked some major fucking ass this weekend in Vegas, man. I'm not going to sit here and talk about how much money I made, but this is the smile. So it was really fun. I destroyed a blackjack table for about 7 hours before I got on the plane too. I was going to go to bed, but you never leave the table on a fucking heater. And boy, was I on one. But back to the Chiefs and the Browns. That was one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. Cleveland came out slinging it around. They looked good doing it. I love Baker Mayfield and his swag and the way he plays. They need to lock that man down immediately and give him his extension. They didn't have Beckham. Odell's still not healthy from that knee. But when he gets back on the field, they're just going to be even more explosive. You know, Cleveland and Nick Chubb, that's a guaranteed touchdown a week, in my opinion. Jarvis Landry scored for him again. Kelsey and Hill both score for Kansas City. Those are damn near guarantees. Every time I put money on those guys to score, they pay me. That game was outstanding. The Chiefs do not have the defense the Broncos have, though. And I'm telling you, nobody in the AFC West does. The Chargers don't have that defense. The Raiders damn sure don't have it. Max Crosby is about as special as they get. But other than him, it's a toss-up on whether or not they're going to play well. And Kansas City, even without the Honey Badger, they gave up a lot of points and a lot of yards. And Chris Jones is good. They've got pieces, but they are far from elite. So there's blood in the water there. Great game. Browns lose after having the lead for as long as they did, but still hell of a contest in week one. Seattle went to Indy and just beat the dog shit out of the Colts on their home field. I didn't expect them. I expected Seattle to win, but not at the rate that they did. Russell Wilson went off through 4 touchdowns. Carson Wentz and Frank Wright need to figure this out. The offensive line, not having Eric Fisher, looked like that hurt. Wentz was getting his ass beat by that Seattle front seven the entire game. They were blitzing the hell out of him. So, you know, Wentz has got to figure it out. And I think that Carson Wentz might have been a flash in the pan, man. I don't know. I'm not saying he's a bad quarterback, but he's definitely far from elite at this point. And Seattle is one of those teams in the NFC West that's really, really good. All four teams in the NFC West are 1-0. All four teams in the AFC West are 1-0. It's the wild fucking West around here, man, and I can dig it. Pittsburgh, we went to Buffalo and beat up on a sloppy Buffalo team that is 100% enamored with just throwing the ball over the fucking yard. And if you remember correctly, last year, they could run the ball pretty well too, and it seems like they just, you know, they didn't have Zach Moss active, and the Singletary dropped the ball 3 or 4 times during the game, even out of bounds. And they need to find some balance in Buffalo if they want to support Josh Allen. I mean, I don't know how many times I heard Pesavento, who I went to Vegas with, say to me when we were watching that game, if they keep running Josh Allen like this, eventually he's going to take a shot. And he didn't in that game, but it's going to happen. I mean, he's not one of those sliders. He's one of those guys that goes shoulder and head first. And with quarterbacks, your brain and your shoulder kind of important, just a touch. So they need to find a way to protect Josh Allen or he's going to get fucking hurt. And that's just my opinion. I'm not a quarterback by any means, but there's a lot of fucking experts out there that think they know. And I don't know that Josh Allen running the ball like that is conducive to long-term success in Buffalo, especially after you paid him the way you did. Now, Arizona went to Tennessee and put an absolute ass beating on the Titans. 5 touchdowns for Kyler Murray, 4 on the air, 1 rushing, 5 sacks for Chandler Jones. J.J. Watt was dominant at the point of attack. The offensive line played really well. Kyler Murray, I don't know if there's anybody more exciting, and that's a bold statement in the NFL to watch than Kyler Murray. The play where he ran right, stopped, ran back left, looked like he was going to run, backed up, threw a completion for a first down, was some of the like coolest shit I've ever seen a quarterback do in my life. I absolutely love watching that kid play. And I'm hoping he can get into the playoffs and see what they can see. But again, that NFC West is just so good. I'm going to have to start just looking at like quarterback play for the teams because, I mean, shit. San Francisco is a damn good team, but Garoppolo might be the 4th best quarterback in the division. And Trey Lance, he might be 4th too. I don't know how you rank the quarterbacks in that division. Stafford and the Rams did a really, really good job on Sunday Night Football. He was 20 for 26 for over 300 yards. Cooper Kupp went off. Their defense played really well. You know, Jalen Ramsey was all over the place, just annihilating Chicago's offense. Every screenplay they ran, he was there. They moved him inside and outside so you can't just isolate him on an island. I love the fact that the new defensive coordinator moved him as much as they did. Aaron Donald was an absolute monster at the point of attack, but I can't wait to watch these NFC West games, very similar to how excited I am to watch these AFC West games at the end of the year, because the Broncos don't really play anybody till after week 8 in the AFC West. Most of their games are at the end of the season. So Arizona was impressive. I think that's the one win this weekend that I was very, very impressed. The Colts losing at home, Seattle was impressive. Pittsburgh going to Buffalo, that was impressive, although they were pretty sloppy on offense too. They can't run the football very well. Their defense is real. So, you know, this entire weekend of football was pretty outstanding. The Monday night game was fucking awesome. I can't sit here and say it wasn't. I'm extremely concerned about the Packers. And yeah, I can understand Aaron Rodgers telling everybody to just be cool. It's 1 week. He'll probably go out on Monday Night Football and torch the Lions. But man, that was atrociously bad on Sunday. And not only was it bad, but he looked unprepared. And when you're unprepared in this league, you get embarrassed. And that's what happened. And that's a bad look, man. It's a bad look coming off a fucking 6-month vacation in Hawaii where you don't want to play for the team, but you are coming back. And I don't know how you can repair this if you're Aaron Rodgers. I think this is one of those situations where the only way to fix it is to play lights out, back to that NFC championship level. Bakhtiari still not playing at left tackle, so that puts them in a very strange position. The offensive line just got absolutely fucking manhandled at point of attack by the Saints. Hats off to Jameis Winston for playing within the system that Sean Payton has provided for him. So he's not forced to throw 35 picks and 35 touchdowns at the same time. 5 touchdowns, 150 yards passing. Yeah, the passing yards are low, but they ran the hell out of the ball. He took advantage of every turnover they had, and there were a lot of them. And he was effective in the red zone and threw the ball to the right person at the right time that was open. And that's what happens in this league when you know what you're doing and the coach can rein in a guy with immense talent and say, look, you got to pick your spots when you're going to attack. And Jameis, you know, Jameis is Jameis. After the game, when he was talking about his, you know, my trainer tells me all the time that what the fuck does he say to me all the time? I can't really remember. So either Jameis likes the old bait pen, which, hey, good for you, Jay. I'm on the same fucking field with you in that one regard. Or he's been hitting the head too much with, yeah, you play quarterback, so that could have happened as well. Or maybe he's just funny as hell, because that shit was pretty funny. But the post-game interview with Jameis Winston, you know, you look at him his first 2-3 years in the league, is he's up there making excuses and yada, yada, yada. And, you know, he's just dressed like a regular guy would dress in the NFL. And we saw him on Sunday in the press conference, and he was articulating every point. He was very to the point on what he wanted to talk about. And he set the tone. He's up there in a nice ass, like fucking $5,000 suit, looking like a goddamn G. And that's what you want your quarterback to do. That's what I'm looking for. So hats off to Jameis, but Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, they better get their shit together or they played Detroit Monday night. They should win that game. But if you slouch on Detroit and you just think you're going to run them, they'll beat you. They're an NFL football team. They scored 33 points against the Niners at home. So it's not like they can't score and they don't have any talent. They're just the fucking Lions. That's like football purgatory for half the people that go there. But again, you can't sleep on them or they will beat you. And then after that, the Packers have, I think, the Steelers and the Ravens maybe, or they've got some pretty good games coming up where they could be looking at 1-3, 1-4, and then it's panic time in Green Bay. And Aaron Rodgers doesn't like that. He likes things to be cool and mellow and everybody to love everybody and shit. And I just don't really think that's the way that you can win in this league consistently. So at some point, somebody in Green Bay has to hold that man accountable too. And I said this to Rick, and thanks for him for coming on the show, but if we're going to get that Aaron Rodgers, the inconsistent, complacent guy who doesn't want to be here in the offseason and isn't going to put everything into winning, I don't want him. I don't give a shit how good he is. That's a fucking attitude problem. And look, I was very, very disappointed in how nonchalant he was on the field and how nonchalant he was about playing the way he did in the press conference and the next day. At some point, if you don't show that you give a shit, no one will know you care at all. And it won't really matter about him just saying, relax, we'll figure it out. Nah, man. That shit was embarrassing. So they got to fix it. So look, first week of the NFL season was fantastic. Make sure you get on DraftKings and bet your ass off this weekend, responsibly, of course. I'm going to start a YouTube show myself for sports betting. I made quite a bit of money last year doing it. And this year, I mean, just after 2 weeks of college football and 1 week of pro football, I'm up a very large number, to say the least. I hit a five-leg parlay Saturday with the college games that paid this man. So, you know, we'll do a subscription service and see who wants to get some tips here on bets. There's no guarantees, but I know more than you, and my pocketbook says I do. So we'll be jumping in on that. I'll keep you posted on all that as we go. I'm going to be on DNVR Buffs today with my man Henry later this afternoon. We'll talk more in depth about the Buffs and the Texas A&M game there. But I did want to talk a little bit about the rest of college football and the Buffs to touch here on McChesney Entertainment 125 on DNVR before I get out of here. So Oregon goes on to the Shoe and wins. I had them covering that 14 points, and they won 35-28, and they looked good doing it. Offensive line absolutely dominated the game. They kept A.J. Brown clean, and they ran the hell out of the football at the point of attack. Mario Cristobal, I hope he doesn't go to USC. I don't see him leaving Oregon. He's got them humming. That's not a Chip Kelly finesse, you know, motion-based, you know, reverse offense. That's a lineup and annihilate people at the point of attack. A physical offense, and they play good defense. They play great defense without their best two players. So I'd anticipate Oregon to be the top dog in the Pac-12 this year. And if they can figure out a way to, you know, go through the season with maybe one loss or no losses, they're a playoff team. The best two games of the weekend, in my opinion, were Pig Suey, Arkansas, just beating the shit out of Texas down at Arkansas, and USC getting absolutely waxed by Stanford. We'll start with the Texas game. I just like when Texas loses. Fuck Texas. Horns down. I don't think that they are as good as they think they are. I don't like their arrogance. I hate the fact that everybody thinks it's such a great job. Yeah, it might have resources and whatnot, but I love it when Texas is terrible. And bro, they got absolutely manhandled by Arkansas. And I love the way that Arkansas was just like, hey, welcome to the SEC. And that's what you're going to get, UT. This is not the Big 12. You're not playing Kansas. Arkansas isn't even that good, but they're fucking better than Texas. So man, there's nothing cooler than if Texas goes to the SEC and can't figure it out, and they turn into a 3 or 4 win team every year, and two of those wins are over UTEP and like Texas San Antonio. I'm going to be the happiest person on earth just because they suck. And then USC. SC was embarrassed by Stanford, and I am so proud of Drake Nugent and Bear Miller for keeping their nose to the stone. Two of the starting five offensive linemen for Stanford. Drake's the center, Bear's one of the guards. Two of my guys that I've been with here at 6-0 for years. They absolutely manhandled USC at the point of attack and ran the ball all over them. And they were so disappointed after the week one performance. They changed the quarterback. Coach Shaw changed the system up a little bit and got more back to that Stanford way of doing things. And Stanford's going to give people a run in the North, I think. I think they're going to be a really good team. And sometimes you need to get your teeth kicked in to wake up and see what you could actually be. And Kansas State definitely did that to them week one. Stanford, hats off to Fear the Tree and what they did. Not only did they whip USC's ass and blueprint how to beat them, and hopefully the Buffs can figure that out when they play them week two of the Pac-12 season. But they got Clay Helton fired. So USC fans, you should be Stanford fans here today, at least with Clay Helton kicking rocks. And we'll see who takes that job. I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer emerges and leaves Jacksonville. I wouldn't be surprised if Urban Meyer pulls a Bobby Petrino and leaves in the middle of the season. I thought that he would struggle as the coach down there with his rah-rah college bullshit. And he's going to. The Jacksonville Jaguars are dog shit. They're not good. He may win one or two games all year. They're on a 16-game regular season losing streak. So, you know, the Broncos are going to mop the fuck out of Jacksonville this weekend. Here's the breakdown. Run the ball down their throat. Get a lead. Let the defense eat. There's going to be multiple turnovers had because Trevor Lawrence, I wouldn't be surprised if Denver's defense scores. I can almost guarantee you I try and parlay that on touchdown scores. I'd imagine that Melvin Gordon will eat. And the offensive line will eat, and Bridgewater will play within himself. And, you know, having Jerry Jeudy out sucks, but it allows more opportunity for other guys, and they've got depth there as well. So, you know, USC is not what they were, but they're still a very prominent program, as is Texas. They have the money to go out and attract a good coach. It's just a matter of, who that coach is going to be. I would not be surprised at all if Urban Meyer is the coach at USC, and I don't necessarily think that that is good for everybody else in the Pac-12, because they'll probably be pretty fucking good. That's what he does. But college football is better when Urban's a head coach, and just because so many people don't like him, that's kind of the point. I can relate to that to a point. I don't really get along with a lot of people either, but I'm pretty fucking good at what I do. So it's not a friendship contest. And to be completely honest with you, I think that shit is played out anyway. So we'll see. Again, I'm on DNVR bus today with my man Henry. So make sure you check out that show. We'll jump into the bus and their loss to Texas A&M 10-7. I was disgusted with the play calling. And I love Shiverini. He's my boy, but the back-to-back quarterback sneaks really, really pissed me off. We got to be more creative than that, especially with how well they were running the zone, zone running plays early in the game. You've got the best nose tackle in the country with Texas A&M, number 92. He's the SEC Defensive Lineman of the Week first performance, and he deserved it. He whipped the interior three's ass the entire game. The play calling was very, very, very suspect to me. I just don't understand how we can't get the ball to Rice and we can't get the ball to Stanley consistently, and we're not maximizing our tight ends, and we won't go in the middle of the field. And, you know, sometimes you just have to take points. And if we're going to run back-to-back quarterback sneaks, just take the three. And that would have put them up 10-0 at that point. Missed opportunities can't be made up in games like this. And if you're going to beat the number five team in the country and your defense is going to play that well, you have to support them. And the offense definitely didn't. But that's fixable, and I think they will fix it this week against Minnesota and move on. I'm not in here talking shit. I'm just – look, this is my opinion, and as an ex-player there and a member of the media, I have every fucking right to give it, and I will. And here's another opinion. That defense is the best defense in the Pac-12, and they are going to be the reason the Buffs win 8 or 9 games and the South. And Nate Landman is, in my opinion, the best pure linebacker in college football. And look, 1A, in my opinion, is Chad Muma at Wyoming. And Muma's Dungeon family. And I got to sit here and say it right now on the show, but Shale and Depot from Eagle Crest just was the Mountain West freshman of the week with 2 picks in his game, true freshman, safety. And Chad Muma has back-to-back huge games for Wyoming. He was the Mountain West player of the week one. Last week, he had like 13 tackles and a pick six in their win. Wyoming's 2-0. And from what I can gather from Jim Nagy at the Senior Bowl and whatnot, Muma's only a junior, so he can't go to the Senior Bowl, but he's a draftable player this year and very highly. And when you got Muma and Owen Depot, and I'm literally doing this, don't let these kids go somewhere else, and they still don't go to Boulder, it really rubs my ass the wrong way. I love them seeing them play well, but I'd love to see them play well in black and gold. But that's kind of my issue with this whole thing is you got to make sure that you identify the talent correctly. And when I'm over here as an ex-Buff screaming it from a fucking mountaintop, and then this is what happens, it's just me sitting here being like, I told you, listen to me. So hopefully they will a little bit more. I'm not saying they don't, but when I'm standing on the table advocating for a kid, it's because he can fucking play. And that's just the way it is. The defense back to the bus was outstanding. I love the way Lang played. He played hurt. Jalen Smith played tough at the point of attack. Landman was all over the goddamn field, like I said. The secondary is really good. Hats off to my man, Coach Wilson, for everything he's done for that defense up there. He is defensive coordinating the shit out of the first 2 weeks. And I'd imagine they're going to have a good plan for Minnesota this weekend with Ibrahim, their outstanding running back, out for the season. The quarterback cannot beat them one-on-one. The receivers are not good enough to beat that secondary. The Buffs defense should roll again this week. It's only a 1.5-point spread right now, if I remember correctly. And I think CU is going to really give Minnesota all they can handle in Folsom and win that football game going into the Pac-12. Scheduling Arizona State on the road, that'll be a big one. That's a night game. They just announced it's going to be on ESPN at 8:30. So, sleep in Saturday so you can watch the Buffs win that game in Tempe. Like I said, I'll be on DNVR Buffs today a little bit later to talk about more of all CU all day. Henry does a great job on that show. Episode 125 is a wrap. As always, I am Matt McChesney. Thank you to the great Rick Lewis, the master, for coming on the show today, my mentor in the radio game, for all he does and you know, the honesty and how much he cares about the Denver Broncos. And you can tell in his broadcast and also in everything he does. So this week I will be on Altitude Sports Radio on Friday from 10 to 2, hosting with my man, Josh Dover. So make sure you get on there. And if you're in your car on Friday, listen to the big guy on the radio. The turning point's going to be rolling here as we break down Teddy Bridgewater and his outstanding play from this Sunday. And then also, like I just said, we'll be on DMVR bus later today to talk about CU Texas A&M and CU Minnesota coming up on Saturday morning from Folsom. So as usual, thank you for listening on Chain Nation. We really appreciate it. I'm your host, Matt McChesney. That was 125 of McChesney Unchained here at DMVR. Make sure you go to thednvr.com and check it out. And lastly, I just wanted to tip the cap to Spano and Ryan and everybody else down there, Allie and Adam, everybody that have been busting their ass to open up the Phoenix version of DMVR. They're rolling down there in Phoenix, and it's going to change the game down there the same way it has changed the game here in Denver. I wouldn't be surprised if there's one in Chicago and L.A. and Dallas and all over the damn country knowing Spano and Ryan and just not only the integrity and character that those men have, but the work ethic and the professionalism and the fact that they're the fucking best. And it's not just some, you know, media conglomerate that is responsible to the, you know, the teams they cover. They're actually giving real opinions and they're not just sitting there agreeing with shit over and over again. And I think that's why so many people gravitate towards what we do here at DMVR. So huge tip of the cap to them and everything they do. As a small business owner, I know how hard it is to keep all that rolling. So, like I said, I'm your host, Matt McChesney. Thank you to everybody for listening. Have a great day, and we'll be back next week for 126. Thanks, folks.